Hello, welcome to this episode of My Fermented Life. Thanks for joining us as we document the journey of an entrepreneur and his family as they pursue their dreams of building a food and beverage brand. Follow along as we discuss events, lessons, and meet some really cool people along the way. Now, this week's episode is brought to you by Madge's Food, making fermented food and beverages tastier and healthier, 1 billion microbes at a time. And now, the king of kimchi, the baron of Bloody Mary, and the Maharaji of micheladas, your host, Michael Miller. Hello, hello. This is Mike Miller, your host of My Fermented Life. And welcome to another edition, another episode of this wonderful podcast. I want to thank you so much for tuning in and listening. And a reminder, if you're not a subscriber, please subscribe. We're on Spotify, we're on Anchor, we're a lot of different platforms. Take the time, subscribe us, share us, comment. You can find us on Twitter at My Fermented Life, also Facebook at My Fermented Life as well. We love to hear comments, questions, subject ideas for other podcasts, especially if you're an up-and-coming small business. We'd love to talk to you as well. So we have another great episode today. I know I say that every week, but I think it's exciting. Every week I get to meet some amazing new entrepreneurs in the food business that are right now, you're kind of going through my close network, but these are some amazing people here in Texas that are doing some really cool things. So today we're kind of something very new to Texas. Today we're going to meet Mike McAndrew. He's actually the founder of Little Red's Boiled Peanuts out of here in San Antonio, Texas. So why don't we just give him a whole welcome? Welcome, Mike.
Thanks for having me.
Anytime. So, well, first of all, again, this is your first time on My Fermented Life, so yeah. People don't know you, so just give us your quick bio real quick.
I was born and raised in the panhandle of Florida. And basically spent most of my life there in the northern Florida area, and then moved out to Texas around 2011 to work the oil fields here in the Eagle Ford Shale in South Texas.
Mm. What'd you do in the oil business?
Well, I was what you call a mud engineer. It's a fluid specialist. It's a very specific position out there in the oil field. It was a great job. Something that was able to support me and my wife, and you know, we were both living a happy life. So I was a mud engineer for several years out in the South Texas area. Myself and my wife, now wife, are decided that we were going to make San Antonio a home, and we really enjoy the area. So we now have two kids, both boys, both little redheads. Can imagine why we came up with the name Little Reds, and we decided that we're going to raise a family here. So here we are in San Antonio, Texas.
And so then you started this business, Little Reds. So this is more than just you know, what was your thought process in opening up this business?
So it's funny how things work. You know, I moved out to a region that I'm not familiar with, learned a lot of the Texas area, and then you know, as I was working there in the oil field, things kind of slowed down around 2015. And it was around that time that, unfortunately, you know, I lost my job. There's a lot of layoffs, things are slowing down altogether. And for whatever reason, it was not the easiest thing for me to do was to find a job. I don't think many people wanted to hire me because they're afraid as soon as the oil field picked back up, I was out of here. So that's where it came to me, like, why don't I just start my own business? And that's where the idea of introducing boiled peanuts came to mind. Something I took for granted. Something I realized that we don't have here in the area.
Now that's true, right? This is something that is not really a native snack to Texas, is that correct?
That's correct. It's a southeastern snack. You know, again, I grew up there in the panhandle of Florida, and you can trip over a boiled peanut over there. They're on the side of the road. They have the little vendors there along the interstate. You can go to a gas station and find a pot of boiled peanuts there for your for you to enjoy. It's just one of those common snacks. And again, you know, I didn't realize No one knew what a bull peanut was outside of the Southeast.
Well, that's a good point. We kind of got ahead of ourselves. What is a boiled peanut?
So, let me throttle back. So, a boiled peanut is basically a peanut in shell that is boiled to the tenderness of about a baked potato. Now, something I never even realized, but peanuts are actually legumes. You know, growing up eating peanuts, you don't think about these kind of things. And now, here out doing a completely new market, I get a lot of feedback, and a lot of people compare them to like pinto, lima beans, or black-eyed peas. And so the boiled peanut is basically a good hearty snack, a lot like a baked potato or a bean texture. We do it in several flavors. We have our traditional salted, we have our Cajun, and also the ever so popular fermented habanero, thanks to you, Mike.
Oh, anytime.
So, it's just a traditional snack from the Southeast, but it turns out that my market got even bigger. While I was doing test markets here, it turns out it's a really popular thing throughout Asia, and from the Philippines to India, and then even parts of Africa, and surprisingly Australia. Boiled peanuts are kind of an international snack. So here I am introducing boiled peanuts to South Texas.
Wow, that's amazing. I'm a big fan of the boiled peanuts, and I've tried them. And yes, we got you onto the dark side of the fermentation world to bring in that amazing habanero flavor. I'm telling you, people, fermentation, habaneros go hand in hand, but these habanero boiled peanuts are just unbelievable. Yeah, I mean, that's really cool. But now, what's I find really exciting about what you're doing, besides creating some unique flavors, aren't you doing something like novel with these legumes?
Are you talking about the dip?
Yes.
Okay. So we have created something here in San Antonio, here in San Antonio. Again, a lot of my test markets and all the feedback I was getting was that these taste like beans. And so what I did was come up with a dip. You know, not many people are familiar with boiled peanuts. You know, they take a look at it and they see that's a wet peanut. That might not be appetizing for some folks who have never seen it before. But everybody knows what a dip is. So that was easy. I took the peanuts, made it into like a puree. It was basically my attempt at a hummus. But then there's some key ingredients that I took out of the hummus, out of this that would make it a true hummus. But then, we've been experimenting with several flavors. Right now, our big seller is the cilantro jalapeno. Our original flavor, the roasted red pepper, is very tasty, savory snack. Then also, a seasonal one that we do is the lemon dill. And again, you know, that one's a very popular one too, especially around these parts.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, so we've had a lot of fun developing this and introducing this also new altogether. Something that is not found in the Southeast. I remember whenever I was first telling my Aunt Becky about making a dip out of boiled peanuts, and she just thought it was crazy. You know, why would you do that to a perfectly good boiled peanut, she said.
She's going to run you out of the South, huh?
So, you know, and that just goes to show that you adapt. And, the boiled peanuts are still a big seller here, and a lot of transplants are happy to see me. But everybody trying this dip just seems to really, really like it.
Well, it's amazing. This is why I love the food business is, you know, I've brought other guests in here that are really doing some innovative things. And even you, you're taking something that's been in the South for how long do you think the boiled peanuts have been around?
Now, they're dating it back to around the Civil War is whenever peanuts, it was actually a protein for the soldiers, dating back all the way back then.
Wow.
You know, boiling peanuts. They were able to keep them preserved in the salt water for what they were using. And it goes back generations. This isn't something new for us, but yeah, the idea of making a dip out of it
is new.
That's new.
Well, that's what I find amazing, that you had this vision that, hey, we can transform this something that's been around for hundreds of years and come up with this unique product. That blows me away. And I love how people are doing that, right? I mean, I have more respect for us that are trying to transform our industry or our product line than just another one of X amount, right, of the same people. I mean, right. It sounds like you're trying to transform it's something that you can go back to the South and be like, wow.
Now, I would love to, eventually we will be taking it back to the Southeast. And I think, you're going to have some of those who are going to be the traditional bullpen eaters and may not touch it. But then I think there's going to be a lot of folks that will be happy to eat Little Red's dip and spread. And, I think it's pretty cool. And what's neat about this is that, I'm coming from one region of the U.S. and I'm in another region of the U.S., but I'm combining, these two things. Like, it's almost like a refried bean or frijoles kind of thing, texture, So you kind of learn what people eat in these areas and you come up with your own spin of it.
One thing I wanted to ask too is right now there's a lot of, peanut allergies. And just our warning here, right? We are not doctors. Please, don't listen to this as advice, but this is just merely for educational purposes only. So there's our disclaimer. But is there anything with a boiled peanut as far as with allergies?
Well, again, I am not a doctor, but the nobody's really sure what it is that's causing it. But the boiled peanut, I did read a study showing that the areas that grew up eating boiled peanuts are less likely to have a peanut allergy, which it can make sense because whenever you boil a peanut, you have the water weight added to it. So it's not as concentrated of whatever the allergen may be in a dry roasted peanut or a raw peanut. It's basically cut with water. So in that sense, if the studies are correct, I think that's probably the reason why. Peanut allergies growing up was not something that you'd see as frequently as you do today. But, this is something that we do not play around with. We make sure that all of our customers know that these are, still peanuts.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of customers that ask that, well,
okay, good.
What about this? Now that these are boiled, does it take away any of the allergen? And of course, no, it doesn't.
Okay.
It does not.
That's a good point. So I guess the moral here is start your kids early as young ones on boiled peanuts because it's probably a little easier for their mouths to eat.
Right. The tenderness, how soft it is. I was able to introduce my son to boiled peanuts at an early age because they're soft. They're not crunchy like the dry roasted. He's basically gumming at it, But
well, so great. So now let's talk a little bit about your business, right? So how would you classify your business as far as what stage are you in your business?
We're still in the early stages. From the very beginning until now, I still see everything as a test market. I'm always listening to what the customers have to say. We are producing revenue at the farmers markets and special events. We went as far as purchasing a push cart.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. So
please. Explain about this.
So, okay, it's the first of its kind here in Texas. It's a double boiler that is built on top of a little 4x4 cart. And, it's heavy, so, it's not like I can push it around. But once it's parked, we set up shop and sell boiled peanuts out of two 40-quart boilers. And these jokers get hot. So you can cook up those peanuts on the spot. You get the whole ordeal, with the peanuts cooking and steaming. It's perfect. People come up and curious about what it is, and it's just a good way to get the snack out there, sample-wise.
Well, it seems like football season, tailgating season just around the corner or really starting to get here. It seems like that's kind of your time of the year then.
Yes, and as big as bull peanuts and football are in Florida, I know it would fly here in Texas too. I know a lot of avid football fans out here from high school, prep to college to professional. This is the ideal snack for football season. Traditionally, we serve it up warm. So, with the cold months coming up, a warm, hearty snack like that in your hands, keeps you warm. At the same time, it keeps you full, a good source of protein. But you know, as of now, even in the summertime, we've been sampling them out chilled, because there's times we just grab them out of the cooler floating down the river and eat boiled peanuts. So it's really a year-round kind of snack. But yeah, boiled peanuts and football, you can't beat that.
Now, is there any type of fan that you won't sell to, like Alabama fans or?
Now, we don't discriminate. You know, I might talk a little trash here and there. you know, I'm a Florida State fan myself. And, of course, I have to give people some grief anytime I see them around there. Again, you know, the Southeast, everybody's got their team.
So all schools are safe. Okay, so you hear that here, folks. You're all safe. Anybody that can buy a boiled peanut. So let's go in a little more. So you're at that early stage. You're still very much testing your markets, finding, obviously, you have this great innovative product. You know, what are some of the challenges that you're facing?
Well, what the biggest challenge is, last I checked, I am the only certified boiled peanut manufacturer in the state of Texas. And that still blows my mind. It's something that is so unique to the area that I'm basically the only one handing out samples for people to try or selling to people that want boiled peanuts. I am really the only boiled peanut connection. So that's good in a sense that I am first to market. But here's the tough part. It is not a familiar snack. I talk to people who sell boiled peanuts back in Florida. And they move through peanuts like crazy, which is, you know, it's a known acceptable snack over there. So this is actually the exciting part of it. I'm the first one to really try to get it out there. The sampling part, you know, boiled peanuts aren't for everybody.
So you're having to educate your market.
I'm definitely having to educate my market. So what I realized that my job is a boiled peanut manufacturer. So also turned into more of an educator in a sense.
So you're like a boiled peanut cheerleader out there, really just kind of bringing awareness to your market,
right,
and getting people. And that makes it tough, right? So, and for any of you out there that's experiencing or you know looking at going to an industry or you know especially in the food as far as a product line that's unique. These are some of the challenges that I think we're all facing, right? Is how do you know people don't know what it is, and so you got to get them to try. And you may listen on this podcast and go, I'd love to try, and it's not so easy to get, right? So there's those challenges with new products, but at the same time.
I know. And you have to think the positive of it. Yes, I am bringing something that is unfamiliar to the area, but that can be tough. But at the same time, that's a great opportunity, I think. That's the way I see it. And I'm constantly thinking of ways and like routes of just getting the word out. You know, I bet you if I could let every transplant from the Southeast or throughout Asia, wherever boiled peanut eaters are, just here in San Antonio alone, if they knew about boiled peanuts, I would be doing just fine. But the thing is that I want to introduce boiled peanuts to everybody.
Yeah.
And I think that I'm off to a good start.
Well, as a lot of us say, right, this is not a sprint, that this is a marathon, and some of us are just, you know, instead of half marathoners, we're full marathoners, right? It just takes, sometimes it takes more time to go to your market.
That's exactly right.
So awesome, that's cool. So let me ask you this question. If I was to turn the clock back 2 years, you know, when you're first starting off Little Reds, is there anything you would do different?
I don't know right off the top of my head what I would do different. I think that the rate that I'm growing right now, I am satisfied with. You know, but there's always going to be room for improvements.
Sure.
If I would have known what I know now, the process and the steps would have moved a lot faster. So I think, you know, there's a learning curve. You know, so that's one thing I've been fortunate with was surrounding myself with knowledgeable people, and if I could have go back, I wish I would have done that from the first day. You know, find that connection with those people that have an idea of what's going on, and have them help me grow. That's the most important thing, is to make sure that you have a support system.
Amen. I mean, that is so true. That's kind of, I think you and I are in this situation that one of the advantages of being, you know, the location that you and I are both at is we have that ability to mentor or be mentored by other people that are going through similar situations.
Right.
And so there's that group, not so much groupthink, but there is that learning lessons from each other that really help out.
Right.
So, yeah, so anybody out there who's, you know, looking at getting into food business, you know, I've said this several times, we'll continue to stress it. This is a lonely business. Stop making it harder for yourself. Mm-hmm. Surround yourself with other business owners, especially in the food business. It's a completely unique business with its own unique challenges. We're not all competing against each other, even though we know that, you know, we are competing for customers' dollars out there, especially in the farmer's market, that they, most people only have a limited amount of budget they're going to spend. And so everybody's competing. But we understand that if we stop looking at each other as competition and really helping each other's, you know, produce a better product, produce a better customer service experience, then we all win in the end.
That's exactly right. I couldn't say that better.
And especially our customers. They win because they get better food, they get better product. Everybody's happy. That's what it's about. So what's next for Little Reds?
So we have been doing a lot of the markets, and we're getting the name out by doing special events such as, you know, things for Fiesta, and then with the holidays coming up, we're going to continue doing other festivals coming up just to really get the word out and get our name out. But we are a wholesale company. We manufacture bull peanuts for a wholesale accounts, and our next step is to start growing our wholesale business. I now recruited somebody from Florida, my wife's cousin, Bubba, a.k.a. Jack. He's now here in Florida, or from Florida, here in Texas. And we plan to make some moves. We're going to start working on our wholesale.
Oh, good. Now, I should have asked this question earlier. It kind of elapsed my brain. But we were talking a little bit earlier about people in Texas just don't really know boiled peanuts, but isn't it true that Texas is like one of the largest producers of peanuts?
Yes, and that's also what blows my mind.
Isn't that amazing?
Texas is the number three state, I believe. Last I checked, it was number three in producing peanuts. But what I've come across was that there's a lot of combines that shell the peanuts, and then they'll just ship them off to California to like the big companies like Planters for, you know, their candy snacks and things like that. But finding peanuts and shell in Texas has been quite a task. But I have, I've finally found a steady source. And
that's another challenge, right? I mean, I think you and I have been talking about this since I've known you about sourcing.
Right.
And you know, it's hard for us small guys to really secure a good source, consistent source, because either when we start, we're too small. So we, you know, they're like, oh, yeah, we can ship you out a truckload, which would be like, what, 20,000 pounds. And you're like, I just need 50 pounds.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly. And, you know, and looking at that, you know, as you grow, you're able to grow into those kind of things. Mm-hmm. We're looking forward to purchasing a ton of peanuts now. And
that's not figuratively. That's actually true.
It's an actual ton, 2,000 pounds of peanuts. I mean, that's a lot of peanuts. I mean, it sounds like it, right? But as long as we keep moving the way we're doing, you know, it's just going to become just our regular stock. You know, whenever we need peanuts for boiling, we'll order them a ton at a time. So that's kind of neat knowing that we're growing from 10 pounds now to 2,000 pounds for our markets now.
Well, I got to have the ability to work in a couple corny jokes here. So either A, I feel sorry for your employees because all they're going to do is work for peanuts.
Okay.
Or B, you're going to have a lot of elephants around.
Yeah. No, these are all good ones, Mike.
Okay, yeah. Note to self, probably edit this out. So,
No, trust me, I've heard it all. I've heard it all. Yeah, actually, I do work for peanuts. And anytime I walk out of a store with 250 pounds of peanuts, everybody asks me if I have a pet elephant.
Yeah. That's a good one, yeah. So let's come to the takeaway time. So if you could give some advice to a early food entrepreneur, you know, what's some advice you may give to them?
You know, make sure it's something that you're going to enjoy. And then from there, just keep your blinders on. You don't have to listen to what people say. You know, I'm trying to convince people to eat a wet peanut. I mean, honestly, how appetizing does that sound? So, you know, I have individuals that say it's not something for me, or then most people will say, oh, this is the greatest thing ever. It's just something new to the area. So, you know, when you're out there introducing something, just keep your blinders on. Don't let people discourage you with any sort of negative feedback or anything like that. As long as you know that you believe in your product and you know that it will be a successful thing, just stick to your guns.
Now, I think especially if you're seeing traction, right? I mean, if you're getting,
of course,
you know, 95% of people rejecting you,
right?
Then we have to look at the market. But I mean, obviously, you're not seeing that type of rejection, right?
Not at all. But no, you're right. I guess there is a point in time where you got to call it quits. But even then, you might feel like that sometimes. But don't necessarily think that it's time to call it quits.
True. Well, great. Hey, Mike, so before we go, tell people how they can get a hold of you.
Oh, okay. You can find us on our website at littleredsboiledpeanuts.com. That's LILRED boiled peanuts, BOILED, peanuts, PEANUTS.com. You can research us on our website. You can even order. We do ship online. And then also, if you're within the San Antonio area, you can follow us on Facebook at Little Reds. Find us on Facebook with Little Reds Boiled Peanuts, or Instagram, and see where we pop up at the markets or other special events.
They're not too hard to find, people. I swear there's something in the water in this family, because they're all redheads. the little boys, the husband, the wife, they all have red hair. I think it's it goes against nature, but it's definitely really cool family. So if you are in the area, hey, stop by and see him, or log on to Instagram, Facebook, try these boiled peanuts. And Mike, hey, thank you for taking your time out to come talk to me and everybody here as the listeners on this podcast. Friendship and just the time that we have together, it's been a blessing. So thanks again for coming today.
Anytime, Mike. Thank you.
Well, that's another end up of another episode. Thanks again for listening. Remember to subscribe if you found this, you know, mildly entertaining. Maybe could survive my corny jokes or brought some value. So subscribe on Facebook to our page and leave some comments. But please, you know, on Spotify, on Anchor, on Google Podcast, you know, subscribe today. Share this. Share the love. So that wraps up another episode. Thanks again. Until next week, enjoy.